Good to see you in the Lord's house today. I'm so happy that you're here, excited for what God's going to do in our church today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your holy name. You are exalted here in this place, in the heavens, and we pray that your will would be done in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that you would achieve your purposes in our lives today, that we might be your servants, that we might be your people, and that we might make a difference, Lord, by the acts of love and kindness that we show in your name. Thank you for each person that's here. We're thankful for Mirtha and her ministry, and pray that you'll bless her as she comes to share with us later, and for Brother Joel, too, as he leads us as our pastor, and as he brings your word to us, God, that we would hear it and respond to it in the right way. Strengthen us now as we sing and pour out our praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we praise the Lord by singing hymn number 122, Glorious is Thy Name.
Blessed Savior, we adore Thee.
Glorious is Thy name, O Lord. Glorious is Thy name. Glad you're here. Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. All of you that are online due to the cold, we're glad that you're worshiping with us. Glad that you've braved the ones that are here, braved the cold weather, and are worshiping with us here today. All of you that are guests today, we're glad the Lord's led you to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. Glad that you're part of this time of worship. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad to have you this morning.
All my boast is in Jesus, all my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. My boast is in Jesus, all my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. And I will glory forever in what the cross has done.
Amen. You may be seated.
Every year on this particular Sunday, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, then we always have the ministry of Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center come and share with us what they're doing, how the ministry is going, how we are a part of that individually and as a church. And so we always do that on this particular Sunday. And so today is no different. And over the past several years, of course, Billy Spann, part of our church, Mark Sheffer, and others in First Baptist Church are such a strong part of that mission and that ministry. And over the past several years, Mark Sheffer has been the guy that has talked about the ministry and here's what we're doing and here's how we can help and those kind of things. But Mark, a couple of weeks ago, said, I've got somebody that I want to be the speaker and it not be me. And I said, well, Mark, whatever you want to do is fine with me, whatever y'all decide. He said, we have a young lady in our ministry now, Mirtha, and she is from Haiti. And over the past several years, we've had such a mission and a ministry to Haitians. But we didn't know how to communicate with them. We don't know French Creole here in Alabama. We speak something, but it's not that. And so they were really struggling with how do we communicate with these people that are in desperate need of our help and the light of the gospel. And so Sharon Ainsworth, who is the leader of Real Life, said Thursday before when we were at an event at Gunner's Landing, she said, we started praying, Lord, we need your help. We need guidance as far as how do we help this community that is desperately in need. And so Billy says the Lord sent her and Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center a Haitian angel. And that's exactly what they call Mirtha. And so she came from Haiti, living here in Albertville in Marshall County, and has been such a godsend to that mission and that ministry. And so Mark said, I'd like for it to be different this year. I'd like for her to be our speaker. And I said, that sounds great. Well, then Mark called me Thursday and said, and you're going to have to introduce her because I've been diagnosed with COVID and I'm not going to be at church. So I have had the task then of introducing Mirtha this morning and then here in this worship service. So Mirtha, come, share with us about Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center and what we can do to be a part of that.
As much as possible while I'm here. That's our mission, to share the gospel with others, to let them, lead them to know Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's been amazing. Like, God is using every single member of our team to share the gospel, to show love, to show understanding and compassion to those who need it. And I want to tell you about what we do in Real Life, as you may know already, but we do offer free pregnancy tests, we do free ultrasounds, we help with supplies such as diapers, bottles, clothing, anything that you can think of like a baby may need, we try to help with that. And we do have a program, we call it Learn to Earn, and through this program, parents can earn like car seats, high chairs, strollers, swings, and baby beds, and so forth. We do offer parenting classes, and we do have our Bright Course program available in English and Spanish. And people have option either to do in-person classes or online classes. And we also offer abstinence program, adoption referral, and we do have another program for those who are abortion-minded. We can counsel them and ask God to speak to their heart and choose life for their babies. And we do not see abortion as an option, but when it happens, we do have a recovery program for those who are affected. And I want to thank you for being an excellent supporter for Real Life Ministry. I thank you for your continuous prayers, unconditional love to our moms and children. And your faith in Christ testifies that you are children of God, even you never see him yet. But because you are children of God, you acknowledge all the blessings from him. In the same way, I want you to know, you may never have a chance to meet one of our clients, but they can feel your love and they know that you're thinking about them. And Real Life Ministry has produced great food. We are now serving, we're serving Caucasians, Hispanics, and Haitians. Every week we have Bible study with two different groups, one in Spanish and one in Haitian Creole. And we also have counseling meeting one-on-one with our English speakers. we have witnessed lost sheep coming back to the Father's house. And we have members added to our local churches. We're happy for what the Lord has done to Will Life Ministry. Now I want to talk to you about what we do in 2023. We serve about 850 clients who visited our both locations over 6,000 times. We serve about 450 Hispanic clients, 150 Haitian clients, and about 140 Caucasian clients. We have helped 230 women with free pregnancy tests, 100 free ultrasound. And this is a testimony for me. We have people who come to our doors as abortion-minded. And once they see the ultrasound, they change their mind and choose life for their babies. Around 650 of those visits were education-based, where clients came in person classes to learn biblical principles and were educated on parenthood concepts through video lessons. The gospel was shared over 500 times with these interactions. And we had privilege of witnessing 20 professions of faith. Amen. The baby boutique was busy as ever, handing out 35,000 items last year. Among them were 15,500 of baby clothing, over 8,600 diapers, and over 6,000 pack of wipes. Through our Learn to Earn program, clients earn 140 car seats, 140 baby beds, and around 100 other items like high chairs, strollers, and swing. I really want to thank you for being a part for the battle campaign. It's been our greatest way to support the battle for life. The devil is standing against the life of those unborn babies. But we are bringing life to this world, for this is the mission of Christ. Let me tell you this, your work cannot be defeated because Jesus came and died for us. Your contribution helps save lives of those precious souls, and we believe that they deserve a life among us. Because when our work is done, it's those precious babies growing up, they're going to take our place. And why not having them being a part of this wonderful journey that we are living? Thank you for being a part of the Baby Battle campaign, and thank you for giving generously. May God bless you.
Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing our offertory hymn, Because He Lives?
He lived and died. join me in prayer? Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this place of worship, Lord, your church, and we thank you for each and every one that turned out this morning, Lord, because we are your church. Lord, your spirit lives in us, and so we're just thankful, Lord, that we can come this morning to praise your holy name of the one true God, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. Lord, that you live in us, and we live in you, and that we have hope for tomorrow, and we can face another day. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that we give it out of the cheerfulness of our hearts, Lord, and that you will use it, Lord, as the Great Commission to not only help in this community, but extend the gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord, we praise and honor you, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, choir. That's always been one of my all-time favorite choir specials. God has been faithful to us, and certainly as we enter into January, a new year, what a great word. God has been faithful. And all these things that we're thinking about today, we're thinking about humility, we're thinking about wisdom, we're thinking about darkness and light in darkness, all of these things, and yet in the midst of all of that, God is indeed faithful to us. We're thinking about this ministry that Mirtha is leading us, talking about today with real life crisis pregnancy, talking about wisdom, talking about humility, talking about the wisdom and the humility of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. When individuals or couples, young couples, find themselves in a very difficult place, in a very difficult position, and this ministry called Real Life is shining as bright as they can possibly shine, the light in a dark world, and how the Lord then leads. So the testimonies of some of these ladies and how they are led to Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center is nothing short of a miracle of God Himself. And how that light, the light of the gospel, shines. And like Mirtha said, how many times have we heard, and Mirtha said it again today, when these young women thinking about, what do I do? The wisdom of the world says, for expedience's sake, have the abortion. The wisdom and the light of the gospel says, God is sovereign over this baby. So what do I do? And to be able to share the good news of the gospel in those vulnerable moments, shine light in darkness, is just unbelievable. And how they all talk about how when these ladies see that sonogram and they see what's growing a human life, how that literally changes, absolutely changes everything. So thank you, Mirtha, for sharing with us Real Life, because our series right now in January is on humility and it's on wisdom. And so we're able to see that the humility of the gospel in this angry and dark world, we're able to see the wisdom of the gospel in this unwise world that we live in. And so thank you, Mirtha, for sharing that. So that's, we talked several weeks ago, we kind of laid the foundation of this particular 4 weeks talking about humility and wisdom. A believer is wise in that he or she realizes that everything is a gift from the Father. Everything is a gift. And I really pushed that on that Sunday. I really made sure last Sunday as well that I really pushed that. Everything is a gift from God the Father. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Everything we are, everything that we have, everything is a gift from the Father. So last Sunday, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. And Paul says to us, he says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. And I used a good old Southern term for us. What does that really mean? Well, we're united, we're joined at the hip with Jesus. Everywhere we go, Jesus goes. Everywhere Jesus goes, we go with Him. So we're joined and we're united with Jesus. And then Paul says, and because we are united with Jesus, we're righteous and we're pure and we're holy. I ain't righteous and I ain't pure and I'm not holy by any stretch of the imagination. But because I am united with Christ, I am righteous and holy and pure. And then Paul says, and then He is wisdom. He doesn't tell us that Jesus is full of wisdom. He's got it running out of his ears and his nose and everything. No, what he's telling us is not just that he's full of wisdom, but that he is literally the definition of wisdom. And we're united to Christ. What a beautiful picture. Well, talking about the sovereignty of God and how everything is a gift then from the Father. And so after this worship service was over with, one of the ladies in our church, she came up to me and she said, "I'm glad you said what you said today." And I said, "Well, I am too. What did I say?" I usually forget what I've said by the time I have lunch on Sunday. I always get tickled at people who remind me of something that I said. They'll tell me, "You know, last Sunday you said," and while they're talking about it, I'm going, "Did I preach that last week? That was 10 years ago, right?" But this lady came up to me and she said, "I'm glad you said what you said." I said, "Good, what did I say?" She said, "You specifically talked about how everything is a gift. And you even specifically said cancer. So the things that we consider to be good, we have no problem saying, oh, that's a gift from God. But preachers don't often talk about how everything is a gift from God, even the things that we consider to be bad. And you even spoke specifically of cancer. That's a gift from God." And I said, "Well, either God is sovereign or he's not." Is God sovereign? If God is sovereign, then God is over all things. So everything that we have is a gift from the Father. So even when the things that we consider to be terrible, those are gifts from God the Father. Now, that's the point that I'm making. The point is, when a believer biblically understands that incredibly powerful truth, now he or she is humbled. Because God is sovereign and I'm not. And now, with that foundational truth, now the believer is on the road to real, true, biblical wisdom. Because without that, the only wisdom that you can find is in the world that you live in. And that is not wisdom by any stretch of the imagination. So in the world that I live in, I want humility and I want wisdom. A believer is humble in that he or she realizes that everything is a gift. Everything is a gift from God the Father. Now I'm on the road to wisdom. And Paul says, and Jesus is the one you're united to because of Christ. Jesus is wisdom. The next question that I would ask, as you well know, once I say it, you'll say, "Yep, that sounds just exactly like Joel." The next question that I would ask would be, "Well, tell me, Lord, what does it look like? All right? Show me a picture." You know, I have that first grade mind. I have that simple mind. I want to see what it looks like. Whatever it is that I'm talking about, whatever it is that I'm preaching about, it's easy for me to have the words to say, but then in my mind, I'm always saying, "Okay, well, show me what that actually looks like, Lord." So that's my next question. Clayton Williams has this really great thing where he talks about the wisdom of the characters of Scripture, and he puts them in like this gallery. And so he just walks through all of these different portraits of those who are humble, those who are wise and provide for us wisdom. And so he provides the picture of this gallery with portraits. He says, "Some may envision a scholar full of life experiences, but the Bible doesn't teach that at all. True wisdom has its source in God and God alone." Paul asked the question, who alone is wise? And it is reflected in our lives only insofar as we reflect His character. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And in Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15, 16, and 17, like 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31 last week, that's a one way that Paul was proclaiming the gospel. Well, this is another way. Paul, writing to Timothy, proclaims the good news of the gospel. And that, church, then is wisdom. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. That's Paul saying that. Paul knows Paul, and Paul, even though we look at Paul and realize just how incredible he was, Paul thinks that he's the worst sinner to have ever lived. That passage of Scripture means the world to me. Because as I read that passage of Scripture, I'm thinking about Joel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save Joel. And I am the worst sinner of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of His great patience with even the worst sinners. Let me stop there and say, there is never, ever, 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 ever been a Sunday where this verse of Scripture didn't stand out in my heart and in my mind. Listen to it as I read it again. But God had mercy on Joel so that Jesus could use me as a prime example of how great His patience is, even with the worst sinner that's ever lived. And He's the one up there preaching this thing called the good news of the gospel. What a great example. Then others will realize that they too can believe in Him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever, because He is the eternal King, the unseen One who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Wisdom. Humility. Williams writes, "This is the canvas on which the portrait is painted. And each brushstroke of the wise person's portrait will manifest something of the character of the one whom he or she fears." We're in luck because the Bible paints such portraits for us. These biblical portraits are not perfect. That's what's so beautiful about them. They're real men. They're real women. Sinners. Awful. Terrible. No count. Awful sinners. Real men, real women, who walked by faith and they struggled to be holy. But by the grace of God, they left examples of what humility and wisdom really look like. The first portrait is Abraham, exhibited the wisdom of avoiding strife within his family and offered a solution that was even more favorable to others than to himself when he divided the territory with Lot. His son Isaac learned wisdom of peacemaking. The competitors came and they quarreled over wells that belonged actually to his father. Those were his wells. But he moved along peacefully instead of pressing his own rights. The fool argues and the fool quarrels because the fool presses his or her own rights. Boy, is that the American culture? Everything's a right. We have a right to this. We have a right to that. We have a right to this. We grow up in this culture where we are told by everybody, every politician in this culture, that you have a right to. And the list is just enormous of all the things that we have a right to. You don't have a right to anything. The only thing you have a right to is sin, death, and hell. That's all you've ever earned. It's all I've ever earned. The fool then listens to the unwise culture and presses his or her own rights. Peace reflects wisdom and humility. Joseph is another beautiful portrait. He worked tirelessly to avert the devastation of a forthcoming famine, knowing that the preservation of his own family, of his own country, of his own people was on his faithful exercise of unbelievable humility. And not just humility, but unbelievable wisdom. I made the point this morning in early worship. Even Pharaoh, nobody walking on the face of the earth in that day and time was as evil as Pharaoh. nobody. We have this tendency as human beings to kind of stack ourselves together. Oh, he's the worst. No, she's worse than he is. Oh, he's great. Oh, he's... We... Levels. Well, if you want to actually do that, which is not very healthy, the only thing you should do is judge yourself compared to Christ. And that's the right judgment. But if you're going to have this, who's the best and who's the worst? Well, in that day and time, if you wanted to look to find the worst, Pharaoh was it. And Pharaoh himself could see the humility of God and the wisdom of God even in Joseph. Even as evil as Pharaoh was, he saw humility and wisdom. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, because he believed in God, he was a part of the gang, if you will. And it was Jethro who encouraged Moses. Moses, you can't counsel everybody by yourself, so appoint other counselors. What incredible wisdom. And Moses showed wisdom by heeding the good advice of Jethro. Bezalel, who was the son of Uri, a master craftsman that was approved by God to build the construction of the tabernacle. And let's not leave out the women. Remember, a year or so ago, we did a study of some of the great characters in Scripture, a book that was written by Max Lucado. And we looked at all of these different characters and all of these different people. And one of my favorite in that whole study was a woman named Abigail. Remember the story of Abigail? Abigail was married to a fool. And literally, Nabal, his name literally means fool. And he lived up to his name as good as anybody. What made him a fool? Was he smart? Oh, he was brilliant. Have you ever heard of brilliant fools? Well, Nabal was a brilliant fool. I said in the early worship, I said, if you'd have sat Nabal down to take the ACT test, he'd have made a 30 on it. He might have even made a 36. You can't make any higher than 36, but he was brilliant. And he was as foolish as anybody that's ever lived. What made him such a fool? How could you be that smart and be that bright and be that brilliant and yet be so stupid? You know what made him a fool? Nabal himself. Nabal, as my boys, when they talk about somebody that's very arrogant, they always will say, oh, so-and-so loves. If they're talking about Joel, they'll say, oh, Joel loves Joel. And that's their way of saying, boy, he's arrogant. Well, Nabal loved Nabal. Nabal loved making much of Nabal. And Nabal loved everybody in his kingdom making much of Nabal. Boy, he was just as full of pride and arrogance as any human being. And he was a fool. And he and David were on a collision course for a major war. And Abigail ran out in front of David and met David and his men coming to kill Nabal and the rest of the kingdom. And she gave them food, and she gave them wine, and she showed them grace, and she showed them humility and wisdom. And David relented. A few days later, Nabal died. David made Abigail his wife. Smart man. There's a woman in 2 Samuel chapter 20. She's unnamed. She's called wise and humble and peaceable and faithful. And she alone averted the destruction of her own town, calming Joab. Solomon would later call her one of the wisest women in the world. She saved her entire city. During football season on Fridays, I have the great honor of doing a devotion for the football team. I have done that, I think, for 20 years. I think I just finished my 20th season. So young men all over Gunnersville that have played football at Gunnersville High School all the way back, I mean all the way back to the early 2000s, They know who I am. And I have relationships with these young men. I have married more of these old football players, because when it comes time for them to get married, they haven't been in their own church for a long time. And they come to me and say, "Hey, would you marry us?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'd be happy to." And we sit down and share the gospel. It's just awesome. Well, when I get to share with these young men, one of the things that I talk about every single year is the wisdom of the wisdom literature of the Old Covenant. Solomon in the Proverbs. Wise sayings of Solomon. And I tell them, I'll say, "Young men, when you leave this thing called high school and you're going to go out in this world, you're going to go to college, you're going to go join the military, you're going to join the workforce. If you truly want to live wise in this unwise world, you truly want wisdom for your life, light shining in darkness, then scour everything you can from the book of Proverbs and Psalms and allow that wisdom to just drink it up and just take it in." King Solomon is synonymous with wisdom. Every subject, I look at these young men and I say, "Guys, every subject is covered. It doesn't matter. Even the ones that are touchy, even the ones that you don't want to talk about, King Solomon will talk about it for you." Job asked this question: "Where can wisdom be found? The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." We look at the New Testament. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He encouraged the Jerusalem church to take in a man named Saul of Tarsus. And that wisdom changed the world that you and I live in. Literally. Literally, it changed the world that we live in. Paul wrote about the wisdom of God. "All the treasures and wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ and Christ alone." I'm going to read the last part like I did last Sunday. I promise I'm not going to do this every week. It's very unusual for me to do the same thing 2 weeks in a row. But I want them to really hear this. And I'm not good at memory, so I want them to hear this. We can look to Him to see, Jesus that is, what true wisdom looks like in the true man and find the perfect example. He kept His Father's commands perfectly. Think about that. I can't make it through a morning. He kept all the commands of His Father perfectly. He submitted to His Father's will perfectly. He spoke in parables and He gave us wisdom and truth. He told us that the wise man builds his house on the rock solid foundation of God's word and not the mushy sand of this world. True wisdom and humility then means being image bearers of our Savior. By living in and following Him, we may be reflections of the depth and riches of something that is otherwise past finding out. Paul says to the church at Rome, "Oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways. Everything comes from and exists by His power and is intended for His honor and for His glory." That is true wisdom. That is true humility. Father, I live in a dark world in desperate need. And to walk in this world trying to be light is easier said than done. So how in the world does darkness walk in darkness and shine light? That's hard. So Lord, the point is that if I'm going to shine the light of the darkness in darkness, I need humility. Joel loves Joel. Joel loves to make much of Joel. I need humility to be able to bow away to allow Christ to shine. Man, that's hard to do, Lord. And nobody knows how hard it is more than me. I need humility. Lord, I need wisdom because I am not wise. So, Lord, these things that I need in order to be light and darkness, I can't do. I can't find. So something has to happen. And there we find the power of the Holy Spirit to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the gospel. And that gospel then lives and breathes in us in spite of ourselves and shines light in darkness. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that good news. In Christ we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you've never trusted Christ, then we so encourage you to do that today. If you need to come join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, be obedient to that in your heart and just simply follow through in that as we stand, as we sing.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning within. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be.
Please be seated real quickly. All right, grab your baby bottle. As you walk out, there's some right in the doorway. As you walk out, there's some right out here in front of the library. There's another basket up in front of the fellowship hall, so grab your baby bottle. You can put a check in it, made out to Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center. Fill it with cash, fill it with coins, doesn't matter. Just any kind of money, fill your baby bottle. Try to bring those back within the next 2 to 3 weeks. They're going to be coming by and picking those up. Last year, Real Life raised $58,000 just by the baby bottles alone going out to all of the churches in Marshall County. So we strongly support doing these baby bottles. One of the greatest fundraisers I've ever seen. And so grab your bottle, take it home, fill it up, and then bring it back in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Mirtha, for being here with us today. Thank you so much for sharing with us and how the Lord is using you in that great ministry. So thank you for being part of that. All right. Today in the early worship, Jerry and Suzanne Gabig, they came today and joined First Baptist Church. They've been a part of us since before COVID. And so they've just kind of been a part of our church. And they said officially, we know Lord as Savior and Lord, Jesus as Savior and Lord. I followed and believed baptism. And this is where we know the Lord wants us to worship and serve. So the next time you see Jerry, Suzanne, make sure you say a word of encouragement to them. All right. Then last week, Amy joined. Say a word of encouragement to Amy. She's here. Ken Frazier joined last Sunday as well. Part of our church. Say a word of encouragement to him. Women's Bible study on Wednesday nights will start February the 7th. That will be led by Morgan Odell. And if you want more information about that, you've got a few weeks to be praying about that. It's going to be a great study by Max Lucado, 10 Women of the Bible. And so you can see Morgan, and she'll give you all the information you need for that. Valentine Lunch, Gunner's Landing Country Club, February 14th. Our senior adults, 11 a.m., so sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table. Go ahead and be a part of that. Winter Bible study starts tomorrow, 9 o'clock to 11. Richard Mobies and Paul is going to be leading that. Mark Sheffer was going to lead it, but Mark's home with COVID, so Paul's going to fill in for Mark. That starts tomorrow, 9 to 11. Be a part of the winter Bible study with our senior adults, all right?
Children's Choir gets started back tomorrow. We're excited about that. Got some great new material that the children will be working on.
Go ahead and put on your calendar February the 18th on that Sunday night. We will have our first of four prayer events for the year. We'll give you more details later, but for right now, just get that on your calendar for February the 18th. It's going to be a really good night, life of our church, all right? That it? Make sure you say a word of encouragement to Mirtha before you go, and let's all stand and close by singing "All My Boast Is in Jesus."
All my boast is in Jesus. All my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done.